Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy, they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Good morning, everyone. Let's go to the Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all the things that you've given us. Thank you for this assemblage that we have here this morning. And Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit be with us this week. Read and teach this in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, before we get started, there's a couple of things I want to point out that a lot of people don't know about just because the news don't cover it. Not that it's not in the news, they just don't cover it. Friday, in the UN, one of their little subcommittees or whatever they call them there at the UN, one of the subcommittees passed a resolution which will go in front of the whole UN here in the next little bit, next week or so, where if you say anything derogatory towards the alphabet soup of people out there, it's going to be considered an international hate crime. And that in and of itself is very, very, very troubling. Because, first of all, it's not a hate to teach or preach against that. But most importantly, these same people are the ones that's got a chip on their shoulder in the first place and take everything, no matter what you say offensively already, or you combine that with the fact that they're going to consider it an international hate crime. The UN is the one that's going to decide there's punishment on all this stuff. So we're already starting to see the beginnings of the One World Order take effect and shake as we speak right now. A lot of people don't realize that. Again, I've mentioned before that the UN has already separated this world into 10 regions already. And last week we was talking about the 10 horns and how the 10 horns are the 10 kingdoms, or in this case, the 10 regions of the world. So once you start putting all this stuff together and you pay attention and you start looking at this stuff a little closer, all this stuff comes out. You know, I know everybody's heard over the past, 150, 200 years of how things are going to play out. And the one thing that nobody's ever just took into context or actually even talked about or read or just thrown into the mix is it says, well, Revelations, it says in Revelations and it says it in Daniel. The book is sealed until the time of the end. All the stuff is blatantly obvious. We're at the time of the end. It's just blatantly obvious. Some of this stuff is starting to be opened up now. But you see, get a better, clearer picture of how it's going, how things are going to work out a little bit. So, before I start reading out of the Word, I'm gonna give you some things, some food for thought. Okay. And again, I emphasize the point that this is prophecy. All this stuff is prophecy. And the more avenues of approach that you can look at this stuff instead of having a one-track, one-centered mind, so you can open it up, pull yourself outside the bubble a little bit. You know, like the old saying goes, you can't see the forest for the trees, back up a little bit. That way you can see all the trees out there instead of just one individual tree. And again, I'm not saying definitively one way or the other because it's prophecy. We won't know if it physically happens, but the more options that you have to look at, the better prepared you are. And that's the way I look at things, because I like to be prepared. And scary part about it is, this is the times that we're fixing to come upon are going to be the worst in world history. The worst in world history. And I don't know how many of y'all, I know they don't even teach history for the most part in school anymore, but now I'm a history buff and I love history. And I'm going to tell you, there's been some pretty wicked times out there. And I recommend or challenge you, and this is nothing derogatory against the Catholic Church in any way, shape, or form, but look up some of the things that they did during the Inquisition. Those people were just downright mean. I'm talking just downright mean. Look at some of the tortures that they did during the Inquisition. And then magnify or multiply that. We're going to go through some rough times. I'm telling you. We're going to go through some rough times. And a lot of people just like can't get it through their skull.
They're asleep.
Yep. So I'm going to give you just an overview the way Dennis Lee sees how things are going to turn out, whether it happens this way or not. I don't want to say that they will. I think I'm pretty close. Timelines may be a little off here, there, whatnot, but I'm going to give you my perspective. We read Daniel last week, so we're going to take the exact same thing we read in Daniel last week, and we're going to read it again from Revelations. And the two say pretty much the exact same thing. But again, I'm going to give you my perspective of it, of how things are going to turn out. Okay? So, over the course of the next year, 2 years, 3 years, 10 years, who knows the time frame? So I'm not going to get into time frames of this stuff. But we're going to have a one-world government coming into effect. This one-world government, which personally, I think the oncoming of the one-world government is the first rider, the first horse, okay? The white horse, that's one-world government. That's just the way I see it. Whether that be the truth or not, I don't know. You'll hear all kinds of things, who the horses are and all this stuff. Personally, I think the first rider is the one world government starting. Okay? And then you follow the horses. The horses are different than everything else. Then I think all four horses are dealing specifically with the one world order. And I say again, and I can't emphasize them enough, the one world order, the one world government, or however you want to call it, is not the beast government. It's not the Antichrist government. He comes out of it. And if you think about it now, it plainly states, and another name for this one world government in the Bible is Mystery Babylon, okay? The harlot, the whore, all that's all different names for the one world government. And it plainly states that the harlot, Mystery Babylon, the whore, got drunk off the blood of the saints. So we already know right from the get-go that things are going to be bad. We already know, plainly states, that there's going to be martyrs. Any martyrs, why would there be blood? So she's going to get blood off, get drunk off the blood of the saints. And how and why would she be doing that? Well, look at all the different things that's going on out in the world. You know, if that passes the UN, if that passes the UN Council, this right here, the instant that passes, this Bible right here becomes hate speech. I mean, it's already, in a lot of matters, hate speech, but it becomes an international hate crime the instant they pass that. The instant they pass it, this Bible becomes an instrument of international hate. Okay? That's just one instance. A lot of people, true believers, don't believe in injecting themselves with all this garbage that they're pushing for all these different things out there.
Yeah, everything's bad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not even talking about the homosexual part of this. I'm just talking about the pandemic, the shots, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They're pushing all this garbage that they're putting inside your body. And there's a lot of true believers that don't believe in that. And there's a lot of non-believers that don't believe in putting garbage in their body, too.
Not everybody worships government.
So they're going to, these people are also, right, they're the enemy. They're going to be pushed against, and they're going to be locked up. People that talk bad about the pandemic, what's going on, saying that it's all a farce, it's, you know, everything they're telling us is a lie, which coming out to be the actual truth, is were ridiculed, ostracized the entire time that it was going on. You know, you got to wear a mask. You got to get your shot. Oh, and by the way, this has already passed. COVID pass. That's already passed, by the way. If you plan on going outside the country and you don't have a COVID pass, you're going to get turned around. You ain't going nowhere. And all this stuff's going on right now. And being the fact that they've already fixed it to where it's an international thing on the COVID pass, it ain't going to be much more time before they make it where you physically got to have it in country as well. Okay, they already tried it once, but now that they got it approved on an international level, I promise you it's going to be something that's going to happen here. And whether it be COVID or something else, because they don't gave the UN the right to take over whenever there's a pandemic, so of any kind. And guess what? The UN is the one that tells us what's a pandemic and what's not. So, again, they're just giving all this stuff away, giving all of your sovereignty away. And it's not just in the U.S. for those that's living abroad, you know that as well. All kinds of different people, different countries are falling in lockstep with this stuff. Again, the one world government's going to take charge. They're going to do all kinds of bad things. We already see, one of the things that it talks about with the horsemen is, famines, food shortages, pestilence, which is, like a pandemic type situation. All these things are the four horsemen. Okay. And again, I think personally that the four horsemen is all directed literally towards the one world government. So you're going to have all these bad things. A good 25% of the world's population, while one world government's in effect, is going to die or be killed one way or the other. Whether they die of famine or disease or pestilence or just straight up murdered, a good 25% of the world's population can get eliminated. We're pushing 9 billion people on this planet right now. So you're looking at 2.5-3 billion people that's just going to die. Oh, and by the way, the one world government's not going to last that long. It says it only lasts for a short while. But you got 2.5 to 3 billion people that's going to die from pestilence, disease, starvation, war, you know, all the different things that's going on out there. But they're all going to die at one time. People starving to death, you know. Oh, and no, let's not forget the slaves, you know, because this speaks very plainly of slavery during this time. And, you know, you got all the powers to be that has already said you will have nothing and like it. They already, you know, because the entire monetary system's going to crash. So, you know, the banks are going to get their dues. They're going to get their money. So if it requires taking the clothes off your back, well, by golly, they're going to do it. You know, you will have nothing and you will like it. They've done said that very plainly. Those exact words, I'm not paraphrasing, that's what those the literal words that they said. This fixing to happen. So we've got all these bad things, and then all of a sudden this guy's going to show up, come up out of all this mess, and he's going to say, well, I've got a fix for the pandemic. I've got a fix for the food shortages. I've got a fix for all these things. And his ideas are going to be real good, and people's going to flock to him. Not necessarily because he's a charismatic person, just because he actually truly does have the fix to the starvation issues. He truly does have a fix for the slavery that's going on, because people's going to be slaves because they ain't got nothing. They're still working, so that's a slave. And if you read some of the things in the Old Testament, it says that your children will be traded for wine and things of that nature. So real slavery is going to be coming up. But he's going to have a fix for all this stuff. And once he gets in the
problem with government, that they create the problem, then they create the fix, which creates more problems.
But this guy, he's going to come on the scene, and he's going to do away with one world government. And he's going to create his own one world government. And now this guy's going to be the Antichrist. Okay? Because Antichrist doesn't mean against Christ. It means in place of Christ. They're going to tout this guy as the Messiah. That's how the Jews are going to fall in line with what's up there. He's going to tout himself as the Messiah, and he's going to come out of that part of the world, out of Persia. And if you know anything about history, Persia covered a large area at the time that it was at its peak. But he's going to come out of Persia because he says, the Bible plainly states he's a Persian, which does not necessarily exclude Israel, because Israel was part of Persia at one time. So, but he's going to be a Persian. He's going to fix all these problems, and he's going to do away with the one world government. Okay? And that's the one time whenever he does that. This is going to sound counterintuitive, but if you think about it, it's really not. It's going to sound counterintuitive, but it says the angels in heaven rejoice when Mr. Babylon falls. That's why a lot of people think that that's the beast government, but it's not. The Bible tells us multiple times, many, many, many times, and uses many examples of bad fixing something that's bad. You know, fixing a problem. And it's all part of God's plan. The devil's got to get his due. Christ was on the earth and had a ministry for 3.5 years. Satan's getting the exact same thing. He's getting his due. He still get 3.5 years. That's why it says 3.5 years. He's getting his due. He gets his 3.5 years, but before he can get his 3.5 years, he's got to get rid of the one law government. Okay. Then whenever he does all this stuff, and he comes in here and gets everybody convinced that he's the Messiah, you know, the Savior, that's when he turns tail on him and turns, shows his real side. Okay. That's when he comes up and says, I am God. Because everybody's been calling him Messiah all along anyway, but now he's got to be a kid and thinking that he truly is God. And at the same time, that's when Satan comes in, or one of the demons comes in and infiltrates him and literally turns him into a Nephilim or whatever you want to call him, you know, a hybrid person. Okay. And again, I personally think that he is going to be some kind of hybrid cyborg type thing, because it says he dies, suffers a fatal head wound, and then comes back to life, just like Christ did after 3 days. And that's another reason why they think, people don't think he's the Messiah. But when he comes back, he's not coming back as a self, he comes back as the Antichrist. And that's all part of all this stuff. So let's just go on into our reading now. And we'll start, because of all the stuff that we just said, I'm trying to figure out where the best place to start. I think chapter 17 is probably going to be the best place to keep it close to what you're talking about. A lot of you that follow along, that actually read the Bible and understand Revelations and do all this stuff, the one thing that you absolutely must remember about the book of Revelations, it is not in chronological order. Okay? The book of Revelations was written as he's seen it, not as it happened.
Right.
Okay? So that's the one thing people need to keep in context, because some things that happened after what we're fixing to talk about is actually before it. So, again, the book of Revelations is not written in chronological order. All right, so let's begin here with chapter 17. And there came one of the seven angels. There came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that setteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. I'm going to stop right there for just a second and explain another thing of who the kings of the earth are. Okay? We think of kings of the earth in here being the president or an actual king or prime minister or things like that. What they're talking about here, and I can't remember exactly the verse that says it, but, and it may actually be a little bit further along than what they're doing, but the kings of the earth that they're talking about are the merchants of the earth, okay? They're the Bill Gates, the George Soros, the Elon Musk, all these multi-billionaires that own all these companies. That's who the kings of the earth are. That's who they're talking about, okay? Whenever you pay close attention to it, whenever it talks about that, it's always talking about them and their money, them and their possessions, them and they're not talking about them as leaders of a country. They're talking about them as leaders of the leaders of the countries, okay? So you have to put that in perspective. These are the makers and shakers. They're not the president or the prime ministers. These are the guys that's telling them what to do, okay? And if you don't believe they're doing that now, then you're crazy anyway. But it's coming to the point, and this pandemic is a good example of how you can see that actually shaping up and taking effect right now. You had Bill Gates out there telling all these, countries and the UN and the World Economic Forum and all these yahoos that you need to take my shot. And he called it my shot. by the way, you need to take my shot, push my shot, all this stuff, okay? The one thing that you need to understand that these guys, you don't become billionaires. I don't care how good they look on the outside. You don't become a billionaire by being a good person. It just don't happen. Every one of these guys, I'm not going to say they sold their soul to the devil, but I'm pretty sure they did. Maybe not literally, but figuratively, they definitely did figuratively, and some of them may have literally. They worship the almighty dollar, okay? There is absolutely no way they can be a billionaire. There's no way they can be a billionaire and be honest. It just ain't going to happen. They are not. They do not have your best interest at heart. And there's something else that a lot of people don't understand. They have said multiple times, and I'm talking every single last one of these Yahoos, have said they have to reduce the world's population many times. And their stated number is 500 million people. Okay, we got 9 billion with a B, 9 billion people here, and they want to reduce it to 500 million. That's less than a billion. That's a whole lot of people they got to reduce. A whole lot of people they got to get rid of. And if you don't think they're coming up with plans and ideas of how to do that, you're crazy. And it's all taking effect. It's all forming right here. Okay. So just remember, the kings of the earth that they're talking about. This is the merchants. The merchants are these guys. Fornication and habits earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet covered beast, okay, full of names and blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, let's stop right there. Remember when we was in Daniel, we talked about the 10 horns and all that stuff. And it says that she is on the beast. She is on the beast. She's controlling the beast. Okay? So the whore of Babylon, the mystery Babylon, however you want to call her, that's the one world government. She's in charge. In other words, whoever the Antichrist is inside one of those 10 horns right now. He's part of her reign. So she is controlling him at the moment. They're just like controlling everybody else. But she's controlling him at the moment because she's riding him. That's what it means. You know, when you're on a horse, you're controlling it. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, and abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Okay? You'll have many, many people out there, many people, that say, well, because she's wearing scarlet, that's got to be the Pope. Yes? No, it's not the Pope. Contrary to popular belief, it's not the Pope. It's not the Catholic Church in and of itself. Could the Pope be mixed in with all this stuff? Absolutely, but they're not talking about that here. Purple and scarlet has always been a sign of being in charge, okay? Because it was one of the richest things at the time whenever this book was written. They had to do all kinds of work. Purple was a very expensive color at the time. So it was regarded only for kings and such. That's all it's trying to say. Don't read into it. Take it for what it says. And upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots and Abominations of the Earth. Okay? So, now this is where it gets to be important for you to understand the Old Testament. This little statement here actually takes you all the way back to Genesis. And everybody's talking about Nimrod. Nimrod's only mentioned a couple of times in the Bible, but he placed prominently throughout the Bible. It's just not mentioned by name anymore. The thing that you've got to understand about Nimrod is he was the first ruler of the world, of the known world at that time. He literally ruled the world. And that's what it's talking about, because the one world government, he had a one world government. Okay? He was the first. That's why it always talks about, you know, talks about it, if it was and is not and will come again. Remember, we was talking about that last week in Daniel. So it's talking about one world government. Mr. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. Remember, we just talked about that a few minutes ago. And with the blood of the martyrs. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now, there's a mouthful just right there, and I'm not going to get too overly involved in it at the moment, but it says, drunken with the blood of the saints. You and I are saints. Okay? That's what we're called. We're called saints. If she's drunken with the blood of the saints, that just throws that whole pre-tribulation garbage right out the window. But if you still believe in that, you need to back off of it. Multiple times the Bible just throws that out the window, but that's just another view of it. Okay? They say one of their things is that you ain't going to be around when all this stuff takes place. Live. It says right there, you will be. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, of the beast that carried her, which had the seven heads and ten horns. Now, this is not talking about her now, talking about the beast, which is what comes up out of the Antichrist, got to separate the two. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Now think about that again. No time in history, no time in history, other than when Nimrod had his one world government, has there been a one world government? No time. There's been many people tried it. Napoleon tried it. Hitler tried it. But it just wasn't their time yet. Well, whenever this guy takes over, he's going to accomplish it. Well, that's a he ain't going to accomplish it. He's coming out of it. But whenever they try this next time, they're going to accomplish it. And they're going to do it all in the mindset of saving everybody from themselves. And now we're fishing to get into how the Antichrist comes into play now, or he comes up out of the ten. And here is the mind which hath wisdom, the seven heads of seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and another is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue for a short space. Okay? And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are the ten kings, which have received no kingdom as of yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Okay? So to break that down for you, it's talking about two different things here, two separate things, and that's what gets people confused. One of them, the first part of it, is talking about the history of the world, okay? You know, the Persian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, all that stuff. That's all back here in Daniel. The second part of what it's talking about is the ten kingdoms, the the one world government shall have, the 10 regions of the earth that it's talking about. And out of that 10 is where he's going to come up out of. And it's also talking about out of the 8 governments of the world. Remember the statue, that's where that's coming from Nebuchadnezzar's dream. So you got two separate things there. It's giving you two examples of how he's coming up from two different angles here. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. They shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And they that are with him are called the chosen and the faithful. And he hath said unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the horse sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make war with her, and make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. So that's where this is where the Antichrist is coming up. Remember, he destroys the beast, or destroys the one world government. For God hath put in their hearts to his will, remember I told you, it sounds counterintuitive that the Antichrist is going to get rid of the one world government and create his own, but again, that's God's will. That's how it all plays out. And to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is the great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So again, if you pay attention to how that's broken down, think about it. You got to think about it. Revelation is one of those things that it wasn't designed, nor the whole Bible for that matter, but specifically Revelation is not designed for somebody who is not a believer to get a good understanding. And you have to study it. You have to also study the Old Testament in order to get a fuller understanding of what's going on. If you don't understand the book of Daniel, and you don't understand the book of Isaiah, and you don't understand the book of Hosea and Haggai, you're not going to understand the book of Revelation. All those books are end time books, every one of them. And you got to understand these things and put all this stuff together. And if you don't have a real good, thorough understanding of the book of Genesis, you're not going to understand a lot of this stuff either. Particularly the first 10 plus so chapters of the book of Job. You got to have a real good understanding of those. We're going to continue on here with, we can do chapter 18, 20 minutes. We'll go ahead and finish up with chapter 18. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. And the earth was lighted with his glory, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great hath fallen, is fallen, and is become the habitation of the devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have hastened with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. That was the verse I was talking about earlier. Okay. The merchants of the earth are the ones that's controlling everything out here. But you got to understand how the merchants or the George Soros and the Bill Gates and all these people, they're the ones that you got to pay attention to. And whenever they say something, pay attention to what they say. I'm not saying believe what they say. Pay attention to what they say, because
right.
everything they say has meaning. I promise you that. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues. So in the grand scheme of things, what that is telling you, point blank, to put it in the simplest of terms, if you're in a theater and the place catches on fire, the crowd's running towards that door, that's not the door you want to go to. You want to go to the opposite door. Because everything this more and more government's pushing is going to be satanic. I can guarantee it. You see it happening right now. If you're a Bible believer, it is hard, extremely hard to live in this world right now. And it's going to get a whole lot harder. And I'm not talking about physically hard. I'm talking about mentally hard. It's mentally challenging. It's mentally hard to live in this world and do what this book tells you to do. It's almost becoming something that you just can't do. Because everywhere you turn, there's a roadblock in front of you. No matter what you do, there's a roadblock in front of you. And the only way to get around that roadblock is to just go right through it. You're barreling through it. So, to give you a good example, and I'm not picking on homosexuals by no means, but let's say this thing passes. Okay, you should not stop preaching the word of God, telling these people that it's wrong for what they're doing. You're supposed to love the individual but hate the sin. Let them know up front what you're doing is wrong. As long as you let them know that what they're doing is wrong and that they're going to go to hell if they don't quit it, and that there's an option for them, you know, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you've done your part. It's on them after that. But you have to continue to do that. Just because it becomes an international hate crime to mention Jesus' name, or it becomes an international hate crime to point out the fact that I just mentioned, doesn't mean to stop it. In fact, you need to go full force, you know, put a little more coal on the fire and go full steam ahead. That's what it's telling you there. For her sins have reached into heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. And the cup which she has filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall utter, Lord, I can't read. And she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. And I want to point out something else that a lot of people don't realize. Whenever it's talking about this, particularly with her, okay, talking about the plagues. Matter of fact, I mentioned plagues. The plagues is going to be coming down. And we're talking about the trumpet judgments and the bowl judgments, specifically the bowl judgments. But that's what it's talking about. Talking about how we're either going to be dead because the horde has unkilled us, or the few that are going to get raptured and make it through all this stuff, the few that get raptured out of here, God's going to start his punishment. That's when he starts doing his thing. That's when all this mess starts taking place. The trumpet judgments and the bowl judgments or the vials, whatever version your Bible says it. But the bold judgments, that's whenever all that stuff starts. How much she had glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit in the queen, I am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth, again, he's talking about merchants here, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and metal and all manner vessels of precious wood and brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and the odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and the beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And remember, I told you before we got started on this, slavery's coming back. It says right there, there's the word slaves again. Slaves and the souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which are dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment with Indian Leyland, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, and purple and scarlet, and decked in gold, and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught. For every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many that trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this city? And they cast dust unto their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, the great city where were rich, all had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour, she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and be holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus, with violence, shall the great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of the harpers and the musicians and the pipers and the trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of millstones shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. And thy merchants, for the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries, for all nations deceived. Again, that's another one that you need to understand. And I think that's probably how they're going to bring a lot of this stuff back into play. It says, for thy merchants, for the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries for all nations to see. The word sorcery there is the Greek word pharmakia. We all know what pharmakia means. Pharmakia is one word for it is sorcery. Another word for it is the word we get pharmaceuticals and all the other stuff we're talking about. And if you go back to the times of old, that's what most of it was called anyway, the sorcery, but there were sorcerers that was out there mixing up all these herbs and all this stuff. and the roots and whatnot, you know, casting their incantations out there. But now they're just pushing the stuff right straight in the arm. But that's what it's talking about. Just remember that sorceries, whenever it's talking about it here, is literally the word pharmakia. And I don't have the definition with me today, but I've read the definition once before to everybody, so you can look it up yourself. But again, the pharmakia, we're just seeing a good example of that. So actually, we're still seeing a good example of where they're kind of poked up in the arm that it's changing DNA and RNA. They say it's changing the DNA and RNA inside of a virus, but if it can change it in a virus, what's to say it ain't going to change it in you? So I absolutely positively, I will agree with you. Take that.
Yeah, same here.
So, and I'm not saying that it will, but I am certainly not saying that it won't. I refuse to put anything in my body anymore. I'm done. I spent 36 years in the military. I've been poked and prodded more times. I've had every vaccine known to mankind, and I'm just absolutely not taking any more. None. Particularly whenever the one for this pandemic and the one that they're starting to use now literally is changing DNA and RNA. I don't want no part of it. And I say that because one of the things, if you ponder it for just a second, it makes perfect sense. All the things that are, all the bad things that you can possibly do, no matter what it is, no matter how bad it is, you can be forgiven for, except for two things. That's blaspheming the Holy Spirit and taking the mark of the beast. And I pondered that on that for a long time. I really did a long time. And once I figured out that word there, sorceries, and this was years ago that I figured this out, long before the pandemic, I figured out what that word sorcery actually meant. And it made sense to me at that point. Particularly, I don't know how many of y'all have ever read the book Phenom. Whether, I'm not getting into whether it's canonical or, you know, inspired or whatnot, but it does tell a very good explanation of why the flood happened. And if you understand why the flood happened, then you can better relate it to what's happening now, because Christ himself said, just as in the days of Noah, so shall it be. So, the one thing that we know about that, I guess I shouldn't say the word know, some people know about it, and other people just flat out deny it. But you had the fallen angels come down and mated with the woman of the earth, and they created these things called Nephilim. Okay? So Nephilim was hybrids. And being that they were hybrids, they were soulless people. In other words, they were not a creation of God in any way, shape, form, or fashion. So they cannot go to heaven. Now, that's what the Book of Enoch tells you. Now, you relate that to today's times, to today's world, and whether it be through, you know, a shot that ultimately is going to change your DNA or RNA, but even if one strand of your DNA has changed, you're no longer a human. Even if just one strand has changed, you're no longer a human. Or if you've become a cyborg or whatever the case may be, and where, you know, where they're starting to already put plants and implants in your brain so they can, you know, you can walk around when you fall out. That changes, okay? And once you're changed, then you're no longer human. If you're no longer human, you can no longer go to heaven. And that, how they do it, I don't know. But that's the only thing that makes absolute perfect sense to me, at least to me, is that's why you can't take the mark of the beast. It's because that mark somehow alters your DNA or alters your RNA. And people say, well, it's because they're worshiping the beast. But that's not true. I mean, they are worshiping the beast, and they are Satan. But a Satan worshiper today can repent and still be saved. So that line don't follow through with me. It's got to be something that literally, physically changes you to where you're not a human anymore. And to go right along with that same thing, we know, that it's been on the news, we know that the shot that people are currently taking and were taking, that shot has screwed up people's hearts. I mean, they're doing all kinds of things, screwed up their blood vessels. There's been many, many autopsies done where they're pulling out big long, I don't know what the world this stuff is, but just big long goggles of stuff out of people's veins after they died, you know. And that's what kills them. It's whatever that stuff congeals into inside your bloodstream, that's what's killing people. You take, and that's just an example there of what's happening, and you take whatever it's going to be in the future, and it does something to you. Now, you see where I'm going with all this. I'm not taking it. I would highly encourage you not to take anything. Let God deal with it. I a long time ago decided, you know, I could walk into the doctor, which I don't go to them either, but say I got really sick and I was forced into the hospital or a doctor or whatnot, and they diagnosed me with cancer or whatever it is. I'm just going to deal with it. You're not pumping me full of chemicals.
Get in the hospital and you're going to get worse or you'll never leave.
That's right. I'm just going, I put my faith in God. If he wants me, then that's his will.
Ready to go.
Yep. That's his will. You're not going to pump me full of chemicals that I can't even use the same bathroom with the rest of my family, which ain't going to do nothing. You know, I looked up the survival rate of people that take chemo. It's less than 10%. And if you look up what chemo truly is, you wouldn't put it in me anyway. But I'm not getting into all that. That's a side topic. But the point that I want to make, put your trust and faith in Christ. Don't put your faith in man. If you put your faith in man, then ultimately you're putting your faith in the devil. And that's just the way it really works out. So I'm going to go ahead and stop there because I'm going to get on a tangent if I don't. So let's just stop there and go to the Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the things that you've given us. Thank you for everything that you've done for us. Thank you for your word and your understanding of your word. And we pray that you'll be with all the people that's on our prayer list and give them whatever that they need. And Father, we pray that you'll be with all the martyrs that are in the world. And we know that there are many, many martyrs at this current time, and there's going to be a whole bunch more in the near future. We pray that you'll be with each and every one of them. Give them the strength to endure, the faith to endure. And Father, we pray that you'll be with each and every one of the little babies that are being killed in the world. Be with them. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.